Hopefully you brought your Bible with you tonight. I got two passages of scripture you can go to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and then 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 2. Look over here and it kind of cracks me up. None of the kids are sitting with any of their parents. Got the Mosley kids spread out, and then my son's sitting with Lance and Heidi over here. I think it's that way we can make sure that they behave. I don't know what it is. I know William seems to do better with other people than when he's with mom and dad, so maybe that's what it is in this church. They just kids behave better with other folks. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Amen.
All right. So he hath made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus to make sin for us so that we could be righteous in God's eyes. All right?
Right.
So think about that. We are righteous. If you stand before God, you are righteous. When God looks at us, we are righteous. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Look in verse 6, it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live, ungodly. All right, so God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah to make them an example to others to, hey, don't live
Amen.
Like that.
That's right.
And it says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Yep. For that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Interesting what God says about Lot. He calls him a just man.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Which means to behave according to that which is morally right and fair. He calls him a righteous man.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Meaning he's morally right.
Right.
And yet, when I mention Lot, do you think of those things? That's not the first thing that comes to my mind every time I hear his name mentioned. It just isn't. All right? I mean, I think of that verse, but when I think of his life, I don't think that he's just righteous man. I'll bet you there's some Christians that if we mention their name, you wouldn't think very highly of them.
That's right.
I know that. I'm sure they're out there. But when God looks at them, he calls them righteous.
That's
right. We're going to look at Lot's life tonight. And we're going to get some good things we're going to learn from him. And then we're going to see some warnings to learn from him. All right, so we're going to kind of go through the life a lot tonight and get some ideas here. So let's bow for prayer and ask God to bless this message tonight. And then we'll turn over to Genesis chapter 11 and get into it tonight. Lord, we ask that you'd meet with us tonight. And God, give me the right words to say. Give me what you'd have me to say so that these folks here can get something from you. I can easily get in the way of this message, God. And we just ask you, please, don't let that happen. Have your will and way in the service. Help the folks to be encouraged and get something out of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, go to Genesis chapter 11. We'll get some background here a lot. Genesis chapter 11. And we'll start in verse 26. It says, "And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran." Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Haran begat Lot.
Yep.
"And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot was with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So Lot here, we see, he chose to follow the God of Abraham. That's the first thing I see here. And you say, why do you think he chose to follow the God of Abraham? Well, look, we've got Haran dies when he's young. His dad died young. Lot was obviously born. We don't know how young Lot was when his dad died. You know, we today don't think of 30 as being young, but as we see here, Terah lived 205 years. Well, 30's kind of young then in back then, all right? And so we don't know exactly how old Lot was, but no matter what, his dad died before his grandfather died, all right? And we see that his grandfather takes him in, and he kind of treats him as his own son, okay? He takes him in because when he gets up and says, hey, we're going to move, he takes Sarai, he takes Abram, he takes Lot. But then later on, we see that Lot decides to go with Abraham when Abraham says, hey, I'm leaving. God's called me somewhere. I'm going somewhere else. Now, I've heard it said, all right, that Abram's dad died before Lot left, but I did the math and I went, why did I always think that? Someone taught it to me at some point, and I do the math and I go, that's not right, because in reality, Terah's still alive when Abram leaves, and he's alive for another 60 years. Because he has Abram when he's 70. And then at 75, Abram decides to leave. That's 145. So Lot could have stayed with Terah. All right? He could have stayed there with him because, hey, he took him in. Treated him like his own son, even though it was his grandson. Took him in as his own son. So he could have stayed there with him. But he decided to go with Abram. I think there's a couple possibilities. One, I think he got close to Abram. Later, we'll see that, man, Abram looks at him like a brother. Right. All right? So, man, that's some close fellowship there. An uncle and a nephew, and the uncle's going, you're like a brother to me. All right? The other thing is, I think Lot knew, Abram follows the one true God. There were other gods being worshipped during that time. And I think he saw something in Abram and realized, he's got the right, he's following the right God. And I think he knew, man, if Abram's going somewhere, I need to be with him. I need to go with him. Because look, God calls Lot righteous. That means Lot knew what was right. He knew what the right thing was. He knew what the right morals were. He knew how to do right. He learned it from somebody. I think he learned it from Abram. And he stayed with him. All right. Next we see that Egypt, right? If we went down through this passage, we see that Abram goes to Egypt and Lot's with him the whole time. And we see that, you know, with that story, we know Abram is affected by Egypt, right? His offspring is still affected by that decision going down into Egypt. But I believe Lot got affected by Egypt as well. He liked the landscape, I think, because we find that later. When he's making the decision as to where should I go, it's brought up that when he looked at Sodom, it reminded him of Egypt. All right, so his eyes, it affected his heart, what he saw there in Egypt. It affected his decision-making. We don't know, but I wonder if the worldliness of Egypt affected him. All right, whenever God mentions Egypt, it's normally not in a good light. And he always compares Egypt to the world. And we're not to be like the world. We're not to be like Egypt. And here Lot went to Egypt. I wonder if that affected him. I think it might. I can't say for sure. I mean, look, we saw the great effect going to Egypt had on Abram. Well, Lot's seeing all of that. And it may have affected him as well. And then at one point, which we're about to see, he and Abram have so much wealth, which they got that when they came out of Egypt, all right? When they're leaving, they were given a bunch of wealth. They got so much wealth that they couldn't stay together. Well, that wasn't a good thing. We don't normally think of having an abundance. We always think having abundance of wealth would be a good thing, right? Well, here's a situation where having abundance of wealth was actually a bad thing. We see some strife in the family, and they end up having to part ways here, all right? So that's the next part, is he and Abram, they part ways. Look in chapter 13 and verse 8. It says, "And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." All right, so God compares Sodom and Gomorrah, those plains. He compares it to the garden of the Lord. All right, Garden of Eden, man, that's some real fertile ground. That's a fertile area, okay? He also compares it to Egypt. That's something people can recognize, all right? And I think that's what Lot didn't see the garden of the Lord, but he saw Egypt, and he went, oh, hey, that's... Now, that's not necessarily anything wrong, okay? He's got flocks. He needs to take care of them. So he saw, hey, that's the best area. Yeah, it may have been the best area for his flocks, but was it the best area for him to be in? We're going to see that here in a minute. It says, verse 11, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." I notice God puts that little addendum there for verse 13 to kind of clues us in. He says, look, that area, that land, that was not a good place to go. It was a wicked place to be. So we see here there was strife. Well, you know much about your Bible. The Bible often mentions, hey, if there's strife, there's pride. And I always think here with Lot, he should have humbled himself and said, all right, Abram, you know what? You know, it's his, maybe the strife wasn't between Lot and Abram, but, you know, obviously between their herdmen. But hey, Lot's telling his guys where to go, and he should have humbled himself and said, hey, Abram, where can I go take my flocks? I'll make sure I'm not in your way. So that they could still be together. That's probably what he should have done. He should have done that. He should have humbled himself, but he didn't. We do know that the relationship wasn't hurt because of this. All right, because the very next chapter, guess what happens? Lot gets kidnapped. I mean, that right there should have been a big red sign for Lot to, hey, maybe this isn't the place to be. But he gets kidnapped, and look in verse 13 of that chapter, chapter 14, verse 13 it says, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and there were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan." So there was no bad blood between them. As soon as Abram finds out his nephew Lot's been taken, he's like, all right, boys, let's go, we're riding. Giddy up, let's go. They get their weapons and they're out of there. So there was no bad blood there, but there was enough strife where they needed to part. The sad thing is Lot let his finances, in a sense, dictate where he went. Okay? Because his finances, especially back then, man, it's your herds. If you've got an abundance of herds, you've got wealth. And so he let that be his dictator as to, all right, where am I going to go? That's going to be the deciding factor, is this going to be taken care of? Now look, he needed to provide for his family. So yes, he does have to be conscious of his finances, okay? He's got to make sure he takes care of his family. But was that the best place to be raising his family? Maybe he should have stayed with Abram. And you know what? The one thing I do notice, did you notice something that was missing in those verses that we read, that with his discussion between he and Abram? I never see once Lot go, hey, Lord, where should I go? He didn't ask Abram, hey, can we pray about this and ask God which direction we should go? Can I find out? I mean, I know you're letting me choose. Let me ask God what I should do. It's important in making decisions in our life that we get God's blessing on it. And not that, all right, Lord, I'm going to do this, all right? You're okay with it, right? Okay, I'm going to do it. No. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Not, hey, I'm going to do it, so I hope it's okay. Thanks. And that's kind of the decision Lot did here. All right, Lord, I'm going that way. Bless me. So then we get to see his end. All right, he's had some good things in his life. He's had some bad things in his life. Go to chapter 19 of Genesis. If you're familiar with this story here of Abram and Abraham and Lot, some angels just came and visited Abraham, and God is telling him, hey, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham has this... I don't know how you want to phrase it, but he has this conversation back and forth with God, this kind of debate, and he starts out, hey, God, if there's 50 righteous men, will you spare the city? And he gets God all the way down to 10 righteous men. If there's 10 righteous men in the city, will you spare them? And I've always thought, Abraham's sitting there thinking, my nephew's in there, and he's a righteous guy, just man, and just maybe he's gotten some converts. And maybe he started high thinking, oh, he's probably got 50 converts. But then he got thinking, maybe it's been a lot harder. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a hard city. Hey, there's been many a missionary that's gone to a hard city, and it's been years, and they just get a handful of converts. I mean, there's some I've heard stories of guys being there for 5-6 years before they see one soul saved. And so I think Abraham worked it down. He got it to 10, thinking, man, Lot's righteous. He just needed 9 more people. Maybe he's gotten 9 more guys converted. Look in verse 1. We see Lot here. He's sitting in the gate there at Sodom. It says, and there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. You know much about the gates of the cities, that's where a lot of transactions were done, all right? So he is a businessman, but that's where a lot of the rulers would sit there. The elders of the city would be there. So I think Lot probably has gained somewhat of a status, or at least has attempted to, but he also is, you know, hey, he's got flocks and herds. He's dealing with business, so he's sitting there. But we do see another good quality of him here. We see some good old-fashioned hospitality. And Lot, seeing them, all right, these angels coming, he sees them coming, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. They said, hey, look, we don't want to bother you. We'll just stay in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. You see, he's got some hospitality. If we looked at the passage before, we'd see Abraham did the same thing. When he saw the angels afar off, he invited them in. He said, hey, let's cook some food for these fellows. All right? And I think Lot learned that from his uncle, all right? He learned some good things. He gave them a greeting. He insisted they spend the night at his house. He provided everything they needed. It says he prepared a feast. They didn't have anything to want. If they went away hungry, it was their own fault. He took care of these men. All right. But as we're about to see here in this story, look, these men came here for a purpose. They were going to get the city destroyed. They're coming to get Lot out. And they tell him, they say, look, we're going to destroy this city. God's planning to destroy it. You got to get out. And the sad thing we're about to see is Lot had 0 converts. None. He'd been in this city, in this region for many, 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 many years. And he's got nothing. He's the only righteous person there. First of all, look in verse 9. It says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Here these wicked men have come to his house, and they wanted to do some despicable things with the men that had come, that Lot had in his house. He says, hey, don't do this. And that's how they talked to him. He'd been in this city for many, many years. I figure he had risen to some kind of a status, but these men, they've got zero respect for him. Whatever authority Lot thought he had, he found out right here, I don't have it. It's none. These fellas outside my house right now, they don't even respect me. They want nothing to do with me. They didn't care what he had to say. His testimony, whatever kind of testimony he may have had, forget it. I would like to think that these men knew that he worshiped the one true God. All right, I'm sure the city of Sodom, they worshiped some kind of God. All right, I'm sure they did. And so I would like to think that they knew Lot worshiped somebody else, but we don't know. He may not have even done that. They may not have even known it. Look down in verse 14. All right, he had more children than what were just in his house. And in verse 14 it says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So his extended family wanted nothing to do with him. That's how bad of a testimony he had, is he couldn't even convince his sons-in-law, hey, you're about to be destroyed. Come on. He couldn't even think about this. Not just his son-in-laws, but his own daughters. They stayed with their husbands. He couldn't even convince them to come out of the city with dad. He had lost the respect of his children. What else? It gets worse. Look in verse 23. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. So Lot got, he, his wife, and his two girls, all right? He had two girls living with him. He got them out of the city. And they were told, hey, run, go, don't look back. Look at verse 26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. He lost his own wife. She wanted to be back in the land of Sodom. She didn't want to be safe. That's where she wanted to be. He lost his wife in all of this. And then lastly, he lost his two girls. We see later on, they had been living in Sodom way too long. They knew too much of what was going on in that city. We'll read in verse 30 here of the chapter. It says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called him Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So we get the Moabites and the Ammonites. And those weren't good people. If you continue through Scripture, you'll see that they were a problem to Israel. There's only one good Moabite I can think of, and that's Ruth. She's the one good Moabite, but that's because she had a godly mother-in-law, and she chose to, hey, I'm going to go with my mother-in-law who is worshiping the one true God. She made a good decision. But man, Lot lost everything. What a sad thing to be, you're just, you're righteous, but you lose your whole family. That's sad. He lost his family. Look, I believe Lot's in heaven today. I believe when he died, he went to Abraham's bosom. I believe he's in heaven, but is the rest of his family? They all chose something else instead of God. What can we learn from this? What can we learn from Lot's life? Go back to the New Testament. Look in 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Look, I know we have to live in the world. There's no two bits about it. You kind of have to be a part of this, or you either live here or you're dead. And so we've got, in order to live, we have to be in the world, all right? And you know what? This world's a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah. This country is a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at the wicked things that they were doing, it's happening in our country. And maybe even some more, even greater wicked than what they were doing. So we have to live in this, but we're not to be like them. See, Lot, he didn't have to live there. He chose to live there. But the bad thing is he chose to love it too. And his family, they started to love it. Now, I think Lot loved God, but he cared more about his finances than his family. He cared about the things of the world a little too much because, man, I got to make sure my stuff is taken care of. You know, I think that when Lot first moved down there, I think he stayed out of the city. Okay? But that's what allowed him to get captured so easily. Now, look, I don't have Bible to back this up. This is my personal preference, my personal opinion, all right? So you can take it or leave it. You don't have to, you can disagree with me. It's okay. But I think when Lot came back from Abraham rescuing him, I think Lot went, "Oh man, that I didn't like that. That wasn't fun. Something bad could have happened to us." You know what? I think we need to move into the city. Because I think that's where it's safe. We need to move into the city because then we'll have walls around us and they can't just come in and capture us and kidnap us and take us away somewhere. So, you know what? We're going to move into the city so we can be safer. Yeah, safer. They weren't safe. We saw that when he housed some men that he wanted to give some hospitality to. He had men trying to beat the door down. And then he ends up losing his children over being in that safe city. He shouldn't have been there. He loved the world. Folks, we need to make sure that, yeah, we have to be in this world, but let's not fall in love with this world. There's that song, you know, that's, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." We're to be pilgrims in this world. We're to look forward to the next one. The next life. Don't fall in love with it. You'll be like Lot. Your testimony will be ruined because you care too much about the things of the world than you do the things of God. Second thing we can see is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 15. Says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're living in that. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Folks, we're to be a light in this world. What if Lot was a light in Sodom? Look, I know I just said he shouldn't have been there. But he chose to be there. But what if he was a light? Hey, if he had won just 9 other guys. Yeah, let's do this right here. 9 other guys. Been 10 because he was righteous. If he had gotten 9 other righteous guys, that city would have been spared. God never would have rained fire and brimstone upon him. If he had just been a light. You know what a light does, especially as a Christian? Hey, we show them the Bible. What does it say there in chapter 16? Holding forth the word of life. What's that word of life? It's right here. Look, if folks want to live, they need Scripture. They need the Bible. They need to get saved. And we got to hold that forth to them. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Nobody. Lost man's not going to do that. We got to do it. I think of the children's song, This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. Hey, we're just one light, but it's amazing what just one light will do in a dark room. It just illuminates it, right? Well, don't be like the other rest of the song. Hide it under a bushel? No, don't hide it under a bushel. Then nobody can see it. But that's what Lot did. He hid his light under a bushel. And nobody saw it. And he didn't get any converts. Don't let Satan it out. That can be done. You get a bad testimony with a lost crowd, forget it. They ain't going to hear you anymore. Because they just look at you as a hypocrite. And it would take a lot of time to get that trust built back up that, hey, I really do believe what I say. That's why we got to be careful. We got to let that light shine and make sure it don't go out. Don't hide it. Thirdly, don't lose your family over temporary pleasure. This is so, so important. This is really, that is the one thing I really get out of Lot's life. He lost his whole family because he looked and said, wow, look at those fields. I can feed my cattle over there. Let's go over to Sodom. He had strife with Abram. And he said, oh, you know what? You know, it's not working out. And Abram's like, let's part ways. He goes, okay. And he says, you choose. I'm going over there. How many times do dads go out? Hey, it makes more money. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go to this job. I'm going to make more going over there. I can really provide for my family. Well, are you providing now? Yeah, but I'll make $500 more a week. Now look, don't think I'm make all the money you can make. Don't get me wrong, but make sure God's in it. Okay? Make sure God's in it. I'm all for Christians making a good earning. I am all for it. I love it when I hear Christians getting good paying jobs and making good money, okay? Because you know what I know good Christians are gonna do? Good Christians are gonna give. They're gonna give to missions, they're gonna give to the church, they're gonna take care of God's house, they're going to take care of God's man that's over on the mission field, and we need that. Look, if Christians aren't making money, we're not able to send missionaries checks, right? We can't help other people when they're in need. God wants us to make money so that we can give. We can be a blessing to other people, all right? But make sure, God, are you in this? I hear Christians, they'll move away because, well, it's a good opportunity. I'll make better money. Is there a good church in the area? Well, I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. Well, that's not how you decide. And you know what happens? Dad doesn't suffer. Kids do. Mom doesn't suffer. Kids do. Because they're not in church. And now all of a sudden, 20 years later, oh man, pray for my kids. They're not serving God. They're not in church. They're not getting their own kids in church. That's sad. Be careful about the job that's, well, we're not moving away. I'm just getting a better job and I'm making more money. Yeah, but does it keep you out of church? Careful of that. I've seen that too sometimes. You know, oh man, Pastor, I got to miss Sundays because I got a better job. Is that worth it? Is it really worth it? Think about the next generation. Make sure your kids are in church.
Because something I've noticed, man, if they're not here, where are they going to get the Bible? You say, well, I'll teach them at home. You're too busy working though, right? So how are they going to get it? Now look, we should be giving it to them at home, but they need to be here in the house of God. They need to be hearing the preaching. They need to be hearing the teaching. It's important. You say, my kids are outside the home. Keep them in prayer. Keep praying for them. Look, if they're not dead, there's still hope. If they, look, God said his word will not return void. If they've gotten scripture, that means it's, God can still use it. If they've memorized any kind of scripture, it's there, and God can still use it. Keep praying for them. And when you can, find opportunities to show them the light. Be that light that you're supposed to be. Keep praying for them. Fourthly, two more things right here. Just and righteous people fall. We see that Proverbs 24:16. Just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again, right? Just and righteous people fall. Hey, Lot fell, and he fell, and he fell. Look, folks, God calls you righteous. Are you going to fall? Yeah, probably. But you know what? Get up. Get right. All right, get right with God. Hey, God, I fell. Forgive me. And then keep doing right again. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. God doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to fall and quit and say, well, that's it. Look, even if it's bad, all right? Because there's many a Christian, they've sinned real bad. But you can make it right and then just keep trying to serve God. Keep at it. And then lastly, look, call sin what God calls sin. You know what the problem with Lot is? He went into that place and he saw all the sin. And it said it vexed his righteous soul being around all that sin. But he's quiet about it. He didn't call it out. Maybe if he had called it out a little bit more, he may have, maybe could have converted some people, converted his neighbors. I don't know. You know he's got to have a friend or two. He's been in that city for how long? I mean, think of the friends you've made. Look, I've been living here in Haltom City for only 3 years, and I've even made friends outside of this church, believe it or not. It happens. So I'm sure he had some. But you know what? We got to still call sin what it is. Call sin what God calls sin. Do it in your own life, too. Look, we got to keep ourselves clean. Too often we like to overlook what we do, right? And I can see everybody else's, but man, sometimes we got to examine ourselves, right? Got to hold that mirror up. You go, oh man, I don't like that. I don't know why I don't like what I'm looking at. We got to do that. Get things right. Don't get used to the wickedness around you. Look, as I said at the beginning here, we got to live in this world, but don't get used to it. Don't get comfortable here. Don't fall in love with this world. Look at Lot as an example. There were some good things we learned from him, but man, there's some bad things. Don't live the Lot-like Christian life where I had all this stuff, but look at what I lost spiritually. Live better than that. I encourage you, live better than that. Let's bow and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for the examples of Scripture that we can go to and learn some things. God, help us as a church to be good Christians. Help us as individuals to serve you. Help us to be a good light in this community and not be like Lot, but Lord, help us to get some converts. Help us to win some people along the way so that when we get to heaven, we're not standing by ourselves alone before you, but we've got friends that we've seen get saved and been able to bring along. Lord, help us as we go our separate ways this evening. And be a good testimony out there this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.